Well, before there was Dan and Dave and Rowaine, there were so many others. There was Kenda and Tracy. There was Heather, Adelia. There was two of those, actually. There's a Laura, a Marcia, Amanda. Then there's a whole host of teachers and camp counselors and other staff. And all those names that I just mentioned, if you haven't caught already, are all women who have influenced me in my life, who have helped me become the person I am today. And I want to say thank you to them, and I also want to apologize. The end. I mean, that would be a great Mother's Day sermon, right? It would be for me to just go, I'm sorry, and then walk off, you know? But the reality is, as I think about the way in which these women have influenced me, I think about the ways in which they've invested in me. Oftentimes, I think about those three men first when I get asked, who are your mentors? And I mentioned those three men, but yet I forget that standing behind and before those three men were an army of women. If it takes three men to do one thing, it would take an army of women to do it as well, because the men are needing help of a variety of kinds. And so I think about these women and the way that they've been a mentor in my life, and I realize that how often mentors and influences, and I realize how often I forget to realize that's one of the roles that they've played in my life. Now, I realize that I'm cursed with the Y chromosome. That means, oh, never mind, moving on. And that sometimes, as a man, I do forget the most important things, and sometimes, as a man, I do forget the most important people. And one of the things that happens is when you pause and reflect on the influences in your life, you have a chance to remember the ways in which they've been such a positive influence. And when I started to make a note of all these women, I saw how many names were listed there, and I thought to myself, there's a story behind there that needs to be remembered and recalled so I can remember where I come from and who has helped me come to be the person I am today. If you want to thank the women, you can. If you want to blame the men, that might be the way to roll today. But that's how I kind of look at it, is the ways in which these women have influenced me, have helped me become the people I am today, and they brought a message of different kinds into my life. They spoke different messages that I needed to hear, still need to hear, still hear, in days that I need to hear them. They have a way of speaking into my life and a way of speaking into all our lives that is so helpful and so important, and we want to celebrate the ways in which that happens. But just like I sometimes forget that impact, it's also easy for us all to forget that impact. And losing sight of the influence that they are is one of the things that also happens in the scriptures. The power and the place of women in the scriptures is sometimes left and forgotten by the people who put it all together. And so when we need to pause to remember that, that's what we are able to do. And we're able to see that there is so much more behind the scenes and in the stories of these messengers. These women who were given a task and a message by God and lived out that task and lived out that message. And when we pause to remember the great influence that they were on the people and the stories of scriptures, the influences they are, we are better for it. Because if we don't remember that there are many, many, many women in the scriptures who have amazing stories to tell, we forget that there's a part of the story, a part of the message that gets left behind. And there's probably nobody in the scriptures that has a message to share that gets forgotten and left behind more than the woman of the day, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's this rhythm in scripture that women are pretty much validated first and foremost, and sometimes only, for their ability to give birth and to give birth to the next generation. And one of the things that's a shame and a challenge in that is that we know on this side of 2019 that birthing and giving birth to children is so much more a biological thing than it is a spiritual thing. But they didn't quite have a glimpse of that in the times of the scriptures. They thought they were way more connected. And so when we look at the stories of the scriptures in the scriptures of women, oftentimes they're elevated for their giving birth, and that's about it. And how true is that about Mary? Now, especially if you grew up Catholic, then you would have a repeater in your mind, the rosary of what you celebrate about Mary and what she celebrated for the fruit of her loin. But the reality is, Mary had more than just a task. She had a message. She had a message that was then recorded and a message that we share and the one that we can celebrate. But to understand her message, we need to understand the messenger. To understand what she had to say and what it comes across in music as the Magnificat, which is just a Latin fancy term for marvelous things. That's the beginning of that passage. So if you wonder what's it all about, it's about the marvelous things God has done. But Mary, like all women, are so much more than their ability to give birth. And Mary was one of the people that influenced Jesus. Mary was a key person in Jesus' life, and Mary would have taught Jesus many things. Mary would have helped Jesus become the person that he would become. And Mary is somebody who did many things with and for Jesus that helps us understand more about her message. So imagine if you're Mary and you kind of know the backstory of where she's coming from, and you understand that you have played an important role to some degree, and you're raising Jesus. Could you imagine that for just a minute? If your charge in life was to raise the Son of God, that'd be pretty tough. And so can you imagine those conversations that Mary would have had at the little Jewish playground? So, you know, she would have been talking with her friend, maybe Elizabeth, and go, you know, Elizabeth asks her, well, how's it going with Jesus and James at home? And she goes, well, it's just going great. You know, James gets into trouble all the time, and Jesus never gets into trouble. Or could you imagine the end of the school year when they're handing out the Most Likely To awards? You know, it's that time of year where they're going to hand out the Most Likely To. You know, you can imagine that Jesus' friend Peter, you know, gets the award Most Likely To stick his foot in his mouth. Or Judas, oh boy, you know, Most Likely To betray you. Not exactly like what you want to have in your yearbook. Or how about the one for Jesus? You know, you get to the end of that school year and it's Jesus Most Likely To save the world. A little hard for everybody else to live up to. Or how about, you know, when Jesus would be playing with his brothers, James in particular, and Mary goes, why can't you be more like your brother Jesus? Not so helpful. It would be a tough thing to raise Jesus. It would be a tough thing to grow up with Jesus as your brother. But one of the things Mary did was Mary persevered and Mary kept going, and Mary influenced Jesus dramatically. There's this moment in one of the stories we have of Jesus and Mary where you can see that Jesus has been deeply influenced by Mary beyond the fact that she birthed him, because she raised him. It's at the story of this incident at the wedding at Cana. It comes in the early parts of the Gospel of John. Mary and Jesus and some of the disciples, you know, because he started getting a little small group together, they had gone to a wedding in Cana, and you know most of the story. They had been serving the wine, and they ran out of wine, which was a major faux pas. You know, it's one thing if you run out of wine because you've been having a long party. At a wedding, especially in those times in ancient Israel, they would have gone on for days and weeks, and to run out of wine would have been a disgrace that would have lived with you and your family for a very long time. And so Mary is there with Jesus, and she turns to him, and she goes, hey, Jesus, can you go give him a hand? And he responds first to say to her, mother or woman, he says, my time has not yet come. Now, for all of you who are going to see your mothers today, if they ask you to do something, please don't respond, my time has not come. That will end your Mother's Day very quickly. We'll have a support group meeting tomorrow for anybody who tries that. But the reality is that she looks at him, and can you just imagine this moment when they're there, like the look that Mary would have given Jesus? You know, he might be the Son of God, but you're still my boy. I can just imagine that death stare, like, you want to try that one again? And she goes to the people who are working the wedding, and she reminds them, hey, this guy's going to help you. The woman who influenced him, his mother, he listened to. And he went on, and as the story goes, he turned water into wine, and it was even better wine, and the party continued. I think that's just a great glimpse of how Mary was important in Jesus' life. More than just his mother, she raised him. She influenced him. And that wouldn't stop. It would continue to grow. Mary keeps getting mentioned on and off throughout all of the journey of Jesus. Joseph disappears into the backstory. We assume because of that he probably passed away. It was customary for, as you might know, for the father to be a little older than the mother, so it's all quite plausible. But Mary keeps getting mentioned as one of the women who would have been supporting Jesus and the disciples. Now, let's remember what that means is that Jesus and the disciples were dependent upon the women in their life for help to survive. I guess much hasn't changed, but we need to remember that that's the role they played. And Mary and the others would continue to support Jesus and the disciples. And Mary and the other women disciples, they never left Jesus. Mary was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus was being crucified. Mary was there in that upper room after Jesus had been raised from the dead, cowering in fear with the disciples because she had been so deeply impacted by his ministry and his life. that she was there at the very beginning of the birth of the church. Mary, the one who influenced Jesus, walked through all these things. And at the end of it, she had a message to share. And the message is that there's a mercy for all people. There's mercy for all people from generation to generation. Now, if you heard the reading a moment ago from Luke, you might have noticed that it's a little grandiose and it's a little self-promoting, which is fine. She deserves it. But when I was reading it over the past week or so, I found myself reflecting on it, thinking, like, this doesn't sound like something a mom would write about themselves. But it does sound like something somebody might write about a very influential, very significant woman. It might be something that would be written after the fact to tell her story and to remind all people, for all times that it would be read, that Mary had a message that needed to be shared. Mary, the one who had influenced Jesus, had a message to be shared. And that message was the one that she gave to us, which is that there is mercy from all generations. Now, this is a beautiful thing that Mary reminds us of, and as we remember who she was as a messenger, I think that helps us better understand the breadth and the depth of what she had to say. There's this way in which that's the part of the Magnificat, that part of Luke, comes to us and reminds us just how deep and just how wide God's mercy is. Mary would have been giving voice to, whoever wrote that, would have been giving voice to the expectation that the Messiah would be coming, that from Abraham to then, they were waiting for God to do something so they could know that they had been delivered. And that's what Mary recounts for us. And that's what Mary reminds us of, is that God has brought mercy to generation upon generation. And the message that Mary had for us then is the message that God gives to us now. It's a message that we are called to share and to celebrate. It's a message that we are called to share and celebrate and say with our words and say with our actions in all times and in all places. And that's the message that we want to celebrate on this Mother's Day, this Women of the Church Day. Because the inspiration and the example that Mary gives to us, the inspiration and example that the women of the pages of Scriptures give to us, is a testimony and an example for all of us to follow. That we want our lives to be oriented around the call and the opportunity to have a way of sharing that message of hope with all people. That we can be the messengers of today, bringing in the message of Mary, the message of Jesus' love and hope, to bear in our lives. And so while we celebrate the women today, we celebrate the women of all days. And we celebrate the example that Mary gives to us of what it means to carry a message into the future. So on this day, may we be inspired by Mary. May we be inspired by all the messengers of faith so that we can carry the message of God's love to all people.